scriptures today come from Mark and from Luke. The first one is from Mark chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. And if you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible, it's page 49. Jesus calls Levi. Jesus went back again to the shore of Lake Galilee. A crowd came to him, and he started teaching them. As he walked along, he saw a tax collector, Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting in his office. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Levi got up and followed him. Later on, Jesus was having a meal in Levi's house. A large number of tax collectors and other outcasts were following Jesus, and many of them joined him and his disciples at the table. Some teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw that Jesus was eating with these outcasts and tax collectors, so he asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with such people?" Jesus heard them and answered, "People who are well do not need a doctor, but only those who are sick. I have not come to call respectable people, but outcasts." The second scripture is from Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, and found on page 109 in your Bible. This is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Jesus also told this parable to people who were sure of their own goodness and despised everybody else. Once there were two men who went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood apart by himself and prayed, "I thank you, God, that I am not a greedy, dishonest, or an adulterer like everybody else. I thank you that I am not like that tax collector over there. I fast 2 days a week, and I give you 1/10 of all my income." But the tax collector stood at a distance and would not even raise his face to heaven, but beat on his breast and said, "God, have pity on me, a sinner." "I tell you," said Jesus, "the tax collector, and not the Pharisee, was in the right with God when he went home. Those who make themselves great will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be made great." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Continue on in the Gospel of Mark. We've been going through the Gospel of Mark. We've been kind of jumping around a little bit, but we're going to try to get back on track of doing this a little bit more chronological. But we are now in Mark chapter 2, and we are looking at times when Jesus interacts with people. What kind of relationships does he have? So Jesus and relationships, and today the scriptures bring us to the tax collector. And I don't know if you've ever felt like a tax collector before. Now, most of you probably haven't been literally tax collectors. But the thing is, tax collectors were outcasts. In fact, that's exactly what our Pew Bible calls them in the translation. And other outcasts is what Doris read. Now, I have felt like an outcast at times in my life. And I suspect that most of you have felt like an outcast at some point in your life as well. And I remember in particular one time when I first went to college. And I went to college, of course, in Alaska first, but then I transferred to Chicago to finish out my undergrad. And Chicago was a very different world than I was used to. And first time living in a big city, first time going to that school. And I walked into the cafeteria the very first day, and I think I was fairly early because there was not a lot of people sitting down. But there was one group of people that was sitting down, and they were the football team. And I thought, well, no one else is here. Who am I going to sit with? I don't know anybody. And so I went to go sit with the football team. And I went up to them, and I said, "Hey, is this seat taken?" And they didn't actually respond to me. They just kind of looked at me. And I thought, I don't know. I guess I'll sit down. So I sat down there, and It was an awkward lunch because I tried to talk with them, but I think they were thinking, who is this guy? What is he doing here? He doesn't belong here. At least that's certainly how I felt. And because of that, I never sat with the football team again for the rest of my time at the university. And part of it was just because I didn't know any of them yet. And I did get to be friends with at least a couple other football players that went to chapel and whatnot. But it still stuck with me that I just felt like I didn't quite belong. I was a bit of an outcast there. And not that that football team was bad. I'm not trying to point them in a bad light. But sometimes that happens. You go into a group of people and you feel like you're very different. You don't belong. And certainly we as a family coming from Alaska who don't look quite like everybody, we've certainly faced those times in this area in the last year. And it happens. Anytime that we go anywhere, we're always going to feel like, oh, do I really belong? And sometimes you don't. But you know what? Jesus gives us a different way. As the church, we are supposed to be welcoming the outcast. In particular, Jesus here focuses on the tax collectors. And we're not going to look at the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and Jesus, but I just wanted to mention it here just briefly. Now, it's interesting that Jesus specifically went to Zacchaeus, and what does the Bible say about Zacchaeus? If you know the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Thank you, Tobias. I don't know very many stories in the Bible where they make a comment like that about somebody's physical nature. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And sometimes I think that that's kind of just like a cute little thing, but I wonder if there was something more to that. I wonder if Zacchaeus might have even had some sort of disability. Maybe he was even a little person, like literally what we consider little people today. And I don't know, that would change things even more. So not only was Zacchaeus an outcast because he was a tax collector, but he was also an outcast because he was a wee little man. And Jesus had such a heart for the outcast, not just tax collectors, but for the outcast. And that's part of why I also really like the depiction of Matthew, the tax collector, in the show The Chosen. Now, if you haven't seen it before, totally encourage you to see it. I know I talk about it a lot. I know our church has done it. But I still think there are some people in our church who haven't seen it. And so just keep encouraging you to do it. But Matthew, of course, in The Chosen, is not just a tax collector. He also has what the writers have decided is some sort of autism. And so you see him interact with others throughout the show in a way that's very different. He's an outcast, not just because he's a tax collector, but because he is just relationally different. And Jesus calls him. And that's a story that we get to focus on in the Gospel of Mark today. In Mark chapter 2, we see that Jesus, of course, has already called some of his disciples. And so many of his disciples are already following him. And Jesus has been teaching. He's been teaching publicly now for some time. And he loved to teach where? By the lake. I think that's fantastic. I would love to go and listen to Jesus beside the lake. There's something calming about being by the water. Of course, we know that part of the reason why Jesus did that is sometimes he actually got into the boat and then he cast off a little bit so that way it allowed crowds to hear and understand his teaching a little bit better. But regardless, Jesus, again, it says, once again, Jesus went out beside the lake, and a large crowd came to him and began to teach them. As he walked along, now this is a little bit interesting, as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. So sometimes the Bible does this, especially Mark. Mark tries to make things pretty succinct. He's a short gospel writer, but if he was just by the lake, he didn't just start walking and then all of a sudden see Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. There was not a tax collector's booth, most likely, right along the beach. And so it's kind of just indicating. So after he was done teaching, then he went a little ways, and on that same day as he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. And so sometimes we have to make those connections ourselves as we're reading the Bible. But it's really interesting. So Jesus was in this mode, though, of teaching his disciples, especially the disciples that were just called. And Levi, whom most of us know by another name, by the name of Matthew, he was sitting in a tax collector's booth. And at that time, most of us know that tax collectors were very unpopular. They were outcasts. Everybody hated tax collectors. And it's probably not a whole lot unlike today as well. Now, I don't think that most of us hate tax collectors, the actual person, but I think a lot of us dislike the idea of giving up taxes. I think that's been fairly universal for thousands of years. We would rather keep our money ourselves. And so the people didn't like tax collectors. The Israelites didn't like tax collectors. The Romans didn't like tax collectors. The Romans liked that the money came in because of the tax collectors, but they tolerated them. But the Jews especially hated Jews who became tax collectors because they felt like they had betrayed their country. They betrayed their nation. Because why would they work for the Roman government, the oppressors, and continue to oppress the fellow Hebrews, the fellow Israelites? And so the tax collectors, they were looked down upon by virtually everybody. And really about the only reason to become a tax collector is because you thought, I could make a lot of money doing this. And that was very normal. It was completely acceptable culturally for tax collectors to get rich on their own by overtaxing people and pocketing the extra. And really the Romans didn't care that much either. If the tax collector did that, as long as the Romans got their share of the taxes, they were okay with tax collectors lying and cheating and stealing from others. And so tax collectors were outcasts in a lot of ways because they deserved it. And they had done things that made them be outcasts. Now, I'm sure that there were some that maybe didn't make that choice or maybe kind of forced into that for one reason or the other, but in general, tax collectors were outcasts. Who amongst us are outcasts today? Something for us to think about. I mean, I'm sure that we have outcasts even in our own little neighborhoods. We have outcasts in our workplaces. We have outcasts in our community. Certainly we have outcasts in our country and in the world. Who are the outcasts among us? Levi, son of Alphaeus, was one of those outcasts. And I'm going to just make a quick comment and move on, but this is the only place in the calling of Matthew/Levi where it says that he is a son of Alphaeus. And there is another place, a couple other places, where there's another disciple named James who also has the designation son of Alphaeus. And just a quick note, they are almost certainly not the same person. So Alphaeus was just a somewhat common name back in those times. So they just had two disciples with the same father name, but they were not the same person. Most likely, almost everybody says that. But so Levi, he's sitting there in the tax collector's booth, and who knows what he might have been thinking that day. Maybe he was thinking down upon himself, like, I can't believe I've allowed myself to get to this place where everybody hates me. I can't believe I've allowed myself to get to this place where I just keep stealing from people and I can't stop. Or maybe he was feeling good about himself. Maybe he was thinking, oh, I have so much money and I can't believe how easy it is to rip people off. We don't know. We don't know what he was thinking. But something in him was touched by Jesus. I think more likely he was thinking about how Jesus had just been teaching on the side of that lake, and maybe he was there and maybe he heard that teaching. Or maybe he had heard some of the teaching of Jesus in the last couple of weeks. And I think that his heart was tender. His heart was ready. Because as Jesus walked by, what did he do? He turned to him and just said simply, follow me. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. Levi got up and followed him. What an amazing thing that is. But it's more than that. Jesus didn't just call him out of his old profession to come and follow him, but Jesus had a deep relationship with Levi. Jesus had a deep relationship with this tax collector. who by all means didn't deserve the grace and mercy of Jesus, the grace and mercy of the people around him. And what did the other disciples think, I wonder? I don't know. But Levi not only started to follow him, he invited Jesus and the disciples over to his house to eat at the house of a sinner. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's place, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And it wasn't just one tax collector, but it was many tax collectors. This was a group of outcasts. In fact, Luke 5 expands on this a little bit. It says, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. So not just like a regular meal, let's go eat leftovers, let's just go eat bread and water, Jesus. No, I'm going to have a great banquet. Everything that I have in my house, let's cook up. Let's go out and get some more good things. Servants, give me the best. A great banquet for Jesus. And let's invite all of our friends. Let's invite all of the tax collectors. If Jesus could call me, then he could call all of my friends too. So Levi has a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others ate with them. Ate with Jesus. Of course, not everybody was happy about that. Certainly the tax collectors thought, this is wonderful. I can't believe that this rabbi, this holy man of God, would spend time with us, would even talk to us, would eat with us, much less. But of course, there was a group of people who didn't like that. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they couldn't see past their own faces. They couldn't see past their own prejudice to think that tax collectors were beyond redemption. They couldn't see past the sin that they saw in the tax collectors. They couldn't see the grace of God. And so in Luke chapter 7, we see Jesus talking a little bit about that. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That's what the Pharisees saw when they saw Jesus eating with tax collectors. They saw a drunk and a glutton. I love that Jesus not only talks to the outcast, he goes to their home and eats with them. And that's what we see in Mark chapter 2. And we see this, again, the same thing that we just saw in Luke. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Wow. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Matthew chapter 9. Of course, Matthew is the gospel written by this tax collector, Levi, who later goes by the name of Matthew. And he adds just a little bit to this story, as Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have the story of Levi, the tax collector, being called by Jesus. And it says, on hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Can you imagine what those Pharisees must have responded? Jesus, how can you say such a thing? These are sinners. They deserve punishment. They deserve it. They have broken God's law. And you are telling me I need to go learn what it means to desire mercy, not sacrifice? I'm sure that most of those Pharisees, because we can see the rest of the story of the Pharisees throughout the gospel, they would have scoffed at that idea. Although there were some Pharisees who got it. There were some Pharisees that got it. So let's not ever forget that. There's Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea amongst the more famous Pharisees who turned to Jesus. But most of them would have scoffed at that idea. Those outcasts, they're outcasts for a reason. They don't deserve God's grace. They don't deserve God's mercy. And Jesus said, you've missed the point, you religious leaders. And sometimes we are like that too. And we, many of us, have been in the church for many, many years. And some of us have forgotten what it's like to be outcast by the church. Some of us have forgotten what it's like to feel like there is no hope for my salvation. But there is a lost and hurting world that is out there like that. And so Jesus reminds the Pharisees, and he reminds us of the words of the prophet Hosea in chapter 6:6, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." Too often we think, all we need to do is go to church, all we need to do is read the Bible, all we need to do is pray. And those are good things, don't get me wrong, we need to do those things. But that's not the whole point of our faith. We are called to love the world who is in need of a Savior. Jesus loved to eat with tax collectors and sinners. He loved to eat with the outcasts. And when he ate with them, it wasn't just that he ate in silence. I'm 100% certain of that. He wanted to get to know them, and he wanted them to get to know him. And that's the model for us as well. When we see people who are on the outskirts of society, our desire should be to give them mercy, to share the love of Jesus with them. Luke 15, 1 through 4 shows us again. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it?" Most of us are really familiar with that story because it's a great story. It's a great picture of how Jesus has 100 sheep and one sheep wanders off. I'm sure many of you have seen paintings, pictures, heard poems, depictions of that, the one sheep that has gone off. And we often think we are that one sheep. We are that one sheep that Jesus went after. But oftentimes we forget this story is directly linked to tax collectors. Jesus wasn't just talking about, any random sinner, any one of us. And certainly that does apply. But he specifically was talking about the outcast. Not just outcast because they had wandered off, as we all have wandered and gone astray from God's word. But specifically the one who is an outcast. The tax collector was an outcast. He's away from the 99 because society had cast him or her out. When Jesus goes to the one and leaves the 99 behind, wow, that is a display of mercy. And that's what God wants for us as well. We have to ask ourselves again, are there any groups or people that we need to learn to have mercy on? I think our world needs more mercy today. If you were to search up just on Google, what is mercy? One definition that comes up immediately is, mercy is undeserved compassion, kindness, empathy, and forgiveness. It's really an amazing thing that this is a secular definition, at least as far as I know that Google is secular and some Christian is not writing this definition. Even the world understands that mercy involves compassion, kindness, empathy, and even forgiveness. That's what changes hearts and lives. And if you were to look at the Strong's Concordance, if you look up the Greek word for what is mercy, it's eleos. And specifically, the Strong's Concordance says it like this. Mercy, this word, is mercy, kindness, or goodwill towards the miserable and afflicted with a desire to relieve them. Wow. Mercy, kindness, or goodness towards the miserable and afflicted with a desire to relieve them. Sometimes we think, I'm a merciful person. It's easy to show mercy to somebody who doesn't really need much mercy. But when's the last time we tried to show mercy to somebody who is miserable and afflicted? One who is an outcast, one who was a tax collector in today's society. And not just to do good for them, but to desire to relieve them, to desire to see them no longer to be an outcast, but to be welcomed into the family of God. That's what it means to show mercy. And the way that we show mercy is rooted in how we have received mercy from God ourselves. If we have accepted God's mercy by Jesus Christ dying on the cross, by him being resurrected and ascending and sitting at the right hand of God the Father, if we are following Jesus, then the Holy Spirit should compel us to give mercy to the outcasts among us. We love because he first loved us, says 1 John 4:19. And so in Matthew 21, Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." You know, I've seen this as a pastor before. Often the people who are in the church or affiliated with the church, those who are very familiar with Christianese and whatnot, often those are the hardest people to really share the gospel with because they think they know all the answers. And while a lot of people that go to church are already following Jesus, there are always, I have never been to a church ever that there's not been somebody who could come to know Jesus, even after attending for many, many years. It's very difficult, though, to explain the gospel of Jesus to somebody who thinks they know all of the answers. But you know, when you actually interact with the outcasts, I have seen so many people turn to Jesus who just seem like they have had no hope in the world because the hope of Jesus is so bright compared to the darkness that they are in. And if we really want to make an impact for Jesus and the gospel, really, this concept here, who are the ones who are the easiest to become Christians? It's the ones who are in greatest need, the outcasts, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the outcasts among us. That's who Jesus went to. Luke 18:9 through 14 is the final passage that we read today. "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.'" Now, most of you probably would never do that publicly and go brag about your spiritual goodness, but I think that even I sometimes struggle with a thought like, oh, I'm a good person. I'm a pastor. I go to church. I serve God with the best that I can. And I still fall into the trap sometimes of thinking, I'm not like those other people. And if I struggle with that sometimes, I would suspect some of you struggle with that sometimes as well. To think about who are the people in this world who are the scum. Who are the people who we just would never want to associate with? The ones who deserve their punishment. They deserve what they're getting. "Thank you for not making me like them." That's what the Pharisee said. Jesus continues, "But the tax collector stood at a distance, and he would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. God loves the outcast. He loves the tax collector. He loves the sinner. And he wants us to do the same. So I don't want you to all feel bad about yourselves. This church does do a lot to reach out to those who are lost and hurting. So don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to get to be hard on all of you. But it does, these stories, when we see them in the gospel, it should prompt us to have a heart check. And that's really my goal here. I need to have a heart check, all of us need to have a heart check. Are there any ways that you are like the Pharisees in today's passages? And if there are, good news. God has mercy on us. Not just on those tax collectors and sinners. God has mercy on us. If we repent and say, "God, change my heart," guess what? I believe he will. God can change our hearts to care for the tax collectors and the outcasts today. It reminds me of this quote that I actually meant to show a couple of weeks ago, but we had internet problems that day as well, from Martin Luther King Jr. Everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. If we know the love of God, we can share the love of God with a lost and hurting world. Who are the outcasts around us that God is calling us to? Let us pray. Mighty God, I thank you so much for how you do love us, even many of us who would qualify as tax collectors and sinners many years ago before we put our faith and trust in you. And Lord, for those of us that maybe struggle with a Pharisaical heart from time to time, but I pray that you would break our hearts for you, break our hearts for those around us, help us to have mercy for them. Lord, help us not to compare ourselves, but help us to be compelled to see others redeemed, restored, or that they would no longer be stuck in the ways that have entangled them, the sins that have entangled them. But Lord, help us to go to the outcast. Help us not just even pray for them, to think of them, but Lord, help us to go. Lord, reveal to us who are the outcasts around us that you want us to go to, both as individuals and as a church. Lord, help us to be like you, who love to eat and have deep relationship with those around who nobody else wanted to associate with. Lord, we also do thank you for all that you have given us. Help us to be a blessing to this world. Help us to be givers in search of a need. And so, Lord, I do thank you for how you have given us the opportunity to give through the tithes and the offerings. We pray that you'll bless both the gift and the gift. Lord, that you would help us to be good to your church. Lord, help us to be. In Jesus' name I pray.